Pickaxe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week...
Welcome to Pitch Please! My name's Alex. I'm joined by developer Chris from Foggy Box.
Hello.
Developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
What up?
Thomas, the ocean of ideas.
Well, it's
climate
like,
change has really...
Yeah.
The Tories have done a number on it. A drought in that ocean.
Global warming affects everything, including podcasts. You wouldn't believe it, yeah. But it does. And now...
It's a tough time.
I'm arid. That's what people say about me.
Thomas, the arid
barren.
Desert of
yeah,
ideas.
I'm barren. Oh, God, I don't know. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Pitch Please.
Hey.
The show where people who send ideas listen to games and we play them.
Man, yeah, we haven't used that for ages. The show where people who
we haven't,
pitch ideas. What?
We haven't
what
done that
it?
In ages. We've just listened to other people's.
Send ideas to people who make them.
People who make them.
It's a great tagline.
What was that? What was that again? Sorry, Tom. What was that? People who pitch ideas send ideas to people who make them. Is that what you just said?
Is that not it? Hang on. Why am I?
I don't know.
I'm not hearing. What's wrong with that?
People who pitch ideas send ideas to people who make. That is definitely not
That's
it.
That's not it.
I don't know what it. I don't know what it is.
People who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. There it is. That's what it was.
Bloody nailed it, which is what the show is about.
Yeah,
look, if that didn't describe it for you, if you don't know how it works yet, well, basically one of us is going to pitch an idea for a game and then we're going to spend the rest of the show trying to figure out how to make it work.
But that's not the format today at all.
Or for the last few weeks. No,
it's been years.
A game will be pitched, right?
A game will take place, Alex, yes. But not
and one
from...
of us is going to read it.
That is true.
To you two, the developers.
What? I am wrong.
There you go.
Yeah, so shut your fucking mouth.
Tom, what have you got for us today?
I have a pitch here sent in to pitchpleasepod@yogscast.com where you can send your pitches if you want us to destroy your game ideas, your precious, precious game ideas. I had a pitch sent in from Sam, who's got a game.
Hello, Sam.
You ready for a game?
Hello.
You ready?
I'm ready. Have a game.
Little,
can I have a game, please?
Sam.
Please, Thomas, can I have a game?
Yes, well, Sam's got one for you.
Open wide. Sam's coming in. Yimmy yammer, guys. Yimmy yammer, guys. Which is a perfect intro, thank you.
Just remembered it.
I go by Sam. I was playing chess at work yesterday, and it became the inspiration for this video game idea. Sam? You are lucky that Matt Castle isn't here today because he would, I think he described any chess-based game ideas as just the lamest shit you can do.
Nerds, right?
Nerds. That's for nerds. The demanding of swirlies, I think, was close to...
I think swirlies were involved.
Swirlies were involved. But who's laughing now? Shotgun King is a great game. And that's chess-based, and he's very similar to... Anyway, Sam, sorry.
Eat that castle. His last name is the name of a chess piece. Fucking idiot.
He only moves in straight lines.
it's called a rook, not a castle.
No, Alex calls them castle, horse, pointy man, small people, them, king, queen. Right.
I call them mats. Right.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm completely
Anyway, elevator pitch from Sam. A turn-based ninja squad battling game where turns are shared and the actions of each turn are decided ahead of time, then the rounds play out by themselves. Oh.
Okay. So like an auto chess style thing.
Sorry, just as I like one frame flashed into my eyes and it looked in
Get
my
ready. This
in,
game exists.
No. In my head, visually it should look like the game's Shank. Have you ever played Shank 1 or 2?
Shank.
No.
Shank.
Sounds familiar, but I've not. What like is it? Just pitch it to
it's
us.
It's a little.
Give us the elevator pitch of Shank.
It's a side scrolling, beat 'em up, all about revenge.
Oh,
it's very good.
Yeah.
It's great on Steam Deck. I replayed it recently. Shank 1.
It's made by Clay.
It's made by Clay.
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 The guy who made Don't Starve.
I think that Clay. And what is the ninja one? That have. That
Assassin's
art.
Creed.
No.
The new one.
No,
that's what is gonna it? Be.
No, I think Tom's
they
right.
remastered
no,
it
right.
recently. I have it on Switch.
Ninja Gaiden,
Enter the Ninja. No, what's the maybe that? But that art style, I think, would look really cool. Just in general,
for, I mean,
that is what I imagined straight away. It was just four,
just in general,
basically ninjas, but in that art style, facing off against four others.
I guess to describe the art style, it's very similar to like Samurai Jack, I guess.
Yes.
Shank.
Ooh.
And also, I guess, kind of Darkest Dungeon-y, I suppose, as well. Just very, very, very stylistic comic book style.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Great.
Mark
well,
of
the
Ninja.
Style.
Enter the Ninja is a movie.
Yes.
Christ.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. And that's me done. See you guys.
Okay. Well, we've got the art style down.
It's a nice whetting of the appetite as far as the pitch goes, right? Makes me want to know more.
Let's just really dissect that sentence.
Okay.
Turn-based ninja squad battling game where turns are shared. And that's important. And the actions of each turn are decided ahead of time. So not like your divinities, not like your Baldur's Gates, not like your Pillars of Eternities, not like your fuck. Your there's another one. There's not like those games where it's turn based and you take your turn and Save. Then that's it, that's done. Like D&D, not like your D&Ds, not like
your
Pathfinders,
not like your D&D
your Tales
games.
From the Loops. But instead,
I guess
your entire team activates at the same time and you give them actions. And I suppose at the same time, the enemies are also all taking their turns at the same time. And then the moment you press play, everybody takes their actions, right? Is that?
So everyone queues. So each side queues up their actions, I guess.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Is there a queue or is there, say like if you've got four characters on your team and you're against four, right?
Yeah.
Is the front character attacking the front character? Is that second character attacking the second character back? Because a queue, you
I guess
could
this
do
is
it
what
where,
we get into, right?
Obviously, like if you kill the first character, or so you kill like the fourth character, then that fourth player who hasn't had their turn yet could attack another person in that row. Or is it where you're choosing the attacks for each of these, but maybe that the AI team has chose counter, so that one just nulls, but you don't know that they've chosen that, right? But you could also choose block or counter.
Is that then a glorified game of rock, paper, scissors?
But then you could add some lizard Spock into
rock,
that.
Rock, paper, ninja.
Shuriken, smoke bomb.
I mean,
katana.
Katana.
There's something kind of cool about the 4v4, right? And I have this vision of these ninjas like darting around the screen, right? It's like they're dashing about and they're like maybe jumping up onto top of buildings or top of crates or something. There's like loads of levels, right? This level is like, there's loads
of platforms
and stuff. And you're maybe picking like dash to this platform and do a strike.
So you're imagining tile-based movement, XCOM-y sort of thing.
But like, as Chris said, sort of like side on, sort of like 2D. And it's more like...
What was that game called that blew everyone's minds a few years ago?
Half-Life 2.
Half-Life 2.
Brunch Club.
Yeah. Samurai Zero. Did you play that?
Sorry, that's not funny. Brunch Club is a good game and you should get it.
No, you shouldn't.
There you go. From the dev himself. Yeah, get Startenders. Or Glup.
Yeah, if you like. It's on sale.
James is like, sure. Yeah, sure, whatever. Go for it.
Yeah.
It might not be on sale by the time this goes out.
We've been through the ringer, Tom. And yeah, we've moved on.
I can tell. Meanwhile, Alex is frantically trying to search mind-blowing games on Google.
Desperately. It's not the game. The Samurai Zero is not what
Katana
I thought it
Zero.
Was. Do you know what?
Katana Zero.
That's the one. Yeah.
You were close.
That is... That's what I'm thinking when, James, you just described the side-on, like, ninjas zip-zapping about the place. Mm. Have you seen Katana Zero?
I haven't. What's that like?
If you look that up, so it's pixel art.
What's that like? No, go fuck yourself.
just use Google. What do I look like?
That's fucking great podcasting as well, of just telling each other to look it up. And no effort to describe it.
Pause this podcast and go look it up and come back. Yeah. Watch the trailer.
Well, don't come back. Art. You probably won't come back.
Yeah, it looks great. It's a pixel art 2D platformer that has like it's very brutal. Like, it's very, very gory. And you just have kind of like single moves where you just slash through entire enemies and just explode them and stuff. But there's also it's like a rewind mechanic, I think, in it.
I can't remember how it works. In this case, Katana Zero is, you know, you move with WASD. It's a Metroidvania, I suppose, game, but kind of Hotline Miami in its frantic
movements.
But yeah, it's a side scrolling ninja game. But I don't think we should lock in and say therefore Katana Zero.
But then with this, right, Katana Zero looks cool, something like that. Sure, that kind of art style, but. I don't know. I like the idea that you're just playing these moves and you're not necessarily going to clash with the other person. So you're just darting around all over the place. You could have some like crazy moves, like, I don't know, go invisible, like disguise yourself and hide. So you might slash past like a bush and it turns out to have a ninja inside it or something. I don't know. There could be something cool there.
Like, I get where James is going with that, but I think the problem with that is random. Where something like chess, you know the move that each of those pieces can take, and that becomes strategy, right? So if they can, you know, dash up, dash right, dash left, strike, and you don't know what order they might do something in, then you might never hit the last remaining enemy because you're just doing things. There needs to be a way of, I know I can do this if they don't.
Unless that's
do something
not the,
else.
The end goal.
Well, yeah,
just kill all the enemies. Maybe there's some other. But I mean, we've only heard the elevator pitch, right? I'm assuming there's more to it.
What if there was Slay the Spire? I think being the first big game to really champion this idea of having the insight of seeing what the enemies are going to do. Maybe you don't see everything they're going to do because then what's the game? But maybe you can get a gauge. Yeah, Into the Breaches, you can see everything. But like in something like this, you can see the vague direction they're going to head. So you can kind of try and cut them off. You don't know what attack they're going to do. You don't know if they're going to throw a smoke bomb or try and stun one of your guys or whatever else. But you know where to go to do a thing. Or you can see he's really chasing down this weak member of my team. I know I need to get that guy to run away or whatever. Mm. You get a gauge of the vague direction. Anyway, loadouts for each unit would be decided before battles with classic weaponry and equipment being available. Throwing stars, smoke bombs, daggers, staves, bows, tripwires and traps, etc. And we've already added some of our own in there. Kunai. battles would be set in different locations, with the idea being that you start concealed, okay, I think this is XCOM, and can use what you can on the ground or in elevated positions to stay hidden, such as wooded areas with small clearings, bamboo forests, or in villages with pointed roofs that offer visual cover from one side. Line of sight. Yeah.
Now that's Mark of the Ninja. That's the other game I was talking about, where you use line of sight and shadow because you're a ninja.
That's Ghost of Tsushima. That's Neo. That's that other one.
Kira?
Sekiro, that's the one.
Sekiro.
The main feature. Oh, okay. So everyone taking turns at the same time is not the main feature. We're being spoiled today.
Oh.
The main feature will be contingencies. The idea being you can tell your units where to go and what to do depending on certain criteria. The main three being if they've seen an enemy, if they've seen an action take place, for example, an attack or a reaction, and if they've attacked themselves. Oh my God.
But like accidentally.
But no, I think he means I've attacked.
If they have been attacked. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I thought you meant like, have I already attacked?
Attacked them.
Not have I
no,
been
yeah,
attacked?
No, I think you're correct.
Right.
Well, maybe either. If they are either attacked, well, both, right?
I have hit or I have been hit. Not I have stabbed myself.
I've threw a ninja star in my foot.
Ah, the seppuku way out. Oh, perfect.
Sudoku.
So is it, am I understanding it right with like, he's basically saying that your actions, the actions you can take are dependent on like these certain criteria, like what's happened.
Yes. Now, I don't know if these three are what you have three actions and they're dependent on these criteria. You see an enemy, you see an action take place, and I guess you have to specify what that action is. And mm-hmm. also at the same time, if you've taken an attack and if all three are hit in your turn, then they do all three actions. Or you have to pick one of these criteria. I'm going to carry on because this is intriguing. If confusing. I feel like this will get explained. Depending on your units and your playstyle, you may have units watch each other or visible opponents so that if one performs an action, it can trigger a sequence of events.
Like Overwatch.
Like having chess pieces that defend each other, leading to a chain of trading pieces.
Right.
One unit gets attacked, but evades and retreats, while a supporting unit takes their place and attacks the enemy in return. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, yeah.
You're just chaining actions. That's
unit
fine.
One got attacked. That activated his criteria of evade and mm-hmm. run. The other unit is then like, well, I saw this unit evade, which was the criteria I needed to go in and attack.
We're going to call that mechanic. It's called tag team in the game, right? Just so we don't have to explain that over and over again.
Contingencies is how it's described here. An idea I had.
That makes sense how you just explained it.
I think, yeah, an idea I had was that hit and dodge chances were on dice rolls and that each time a unit successfully evades an attack, they become easier to hit. With some way of regaining evasiveness, staying hidden for a time after being spotted or having certain actions regain stealth. So the longer you're in combat,
I like that.
The, I guess, slower, I suppose, you get.
But your luck runs out, right?
Your luck runs out, yeah. So I guess you could say like, you have to roll, if it's a D6, for example, you have to roll one or higher and you'll evade the first hit, then two or higher, then three or higher, then four or higher. This is ripe for Chris to jump in with his famous luck in video games and how people feel about them. How do people feel about dice rolls versus percentage chances?
Do I have to do it again? Oh, just go back and listen to another episode where we talk about that.
To literally any other episode.
This could be the first person's, this could be a listener's first ever time listening to this podcast.
Okay, right.
They wouldn't have gotten this far.
There's the perception of luck in video games. This is why in a game like XCOM, where you have a 98% chance of hitting and then you miss, you feel very dejected and angry about that. But that's what they normally do is they artificially inflate it slightly because the idea that you're going to miss is just basically impossible to you because 98% is 100% in your head, essentially, is what you're doing.
Yeah.
RNG just, yeah. I understand that. I think that makes sense to me in terms of what you're talking about as it ticks down, but being able to gain that back because you're in control of that somewhat, right? So it does.
Yeah.
It doesn't reduce the luck.
Yeah.
You have some control over how it might go either your way or not. So I think that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you do in XCOM, obviously, you can move them closer, but there's not really a lot of parameters that you can see in that justify why you're getting that score, apart from maybe cover or half cover.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Like, not going into game design too much, because I know this is not the right podcast for that, right? But that idea of like weighting the dice in favor of the player is a thing that runs through a lot of game design. Is that right? In terms of, I remember one of the first things, I know anything about game design, but one of the first things I learned was like the idea of like hitboxes and stuff. Like, you never make the hitboxes like on a 2D pixel game or something. You always make the hitboxes a bit more in favor of the player.
Yeah, yeah, like, so Coyote Time to be, or just jump buffering in platformers. So Coyote Time, when you leave a platform, there's a small just like time frame in which you can still jump, even though you were to look at that frame you left, you weren't on there. And jump buffering is when you're trying to chain jumps together. If you press it too early, you would have missed it. But what it does is it stores that and goes, they have pressed jump within the buffer range. So as soon as you hit that, you'll jump again. Like, it's like those kind of things.
Makes the player feel like they've gotten away with it.
But also, because you're stringing these things together, it makes you feel more like powerful and, you know, in control. And like you are playing this game as it was intended to be played. That's just because you're getting a helping hand. But with the dice rolls thing and scaling, yeah, if you roll X, and the next time it might add like 2% on to your chance of getting that, even though you can't see that, but in the background, it might do that until it hits a threshold where it doesn't go any higher, or it might reset just to sort of give you that.
That random is never random.
Yeah, random's not random. Computers can't do random.
So basically what this guy is saying about the random element,
yeah,
or like the dice rolls, like evasion and stuff, like it makes sense in that you have the control to avoid that, right? You can regain evasiveness, like he says, by staying hidden for a time or something.
Yeah.
You have an element of control over that. I really like that. I think that sounds cool.
Yeah, I like the idea of having to any way to add a little bit more strategy to it, rather than, you know, this person has high health, so he's just going to run in and keep attacking everything. Oh, he's been hit a couple of times, he's going to run away. Like, adding some kind of exhaustion, or not even exhaustion, just a reason to not just keep someone doing the same thing over and over again is always good in games, just to shake things up. And it's like, well, shit, this guy's really, really powerful, and the boss has just turned up, but I spaffed him using on all these small boys. I spaffed my strong boys over all the small boys, and now he's not filled enough to engage the large lad.
This is going to be used against you in court.
I think that can be the clip.
This is evidence for a court case.
I think what's interesting as well, like, again, with the idea of evasiveness, and just thinking about how traps are going to be a really important part of this in my mind, because as Chris was saying, it's like, well, you know, you've got the field. What sort of stops your ninjas ever encountering another ninja? Well, it's the more traps you place, you're kind of almost shrinking the available game area. And then if your evasiveness goes down because you're tired, you're kind of going to end up having to be like, can I get past that trap? Can I not? Can I make it? Am I going to get stabbed by another ninja? I don't know. It feels really interesting. Like, that could naturally sort of reduce the size of the level and the playing field.
I think there are a good way of doing it. Obviously, ninjas are stealth-based characters, right?
Creatures.
They are. They're known for stealth. And especially if you're doing traps and like ambush stuff, you could, like, if you are hiding in a bush, and maybe that's how you regain evasiveness, like, or elusiveness. I think the best way that I can think of right now to do it is during the setup phase. You can't see the other person's field, right? And then when it goes into the plays phase, you can see everything, and then you see where everything settles, and then that fog comes back over. So you can then start positioning your stuff, be like, okay, I'm going to move them there. And it's kind of like a if I position someone in a bush, I don't want the other person to know that they're there, right? Because, well, I suppose if it plays out, you're going to see it anyway.
This is going to get used in the court case as well. Sorry, but don't know. Is this Worms? This feels like really cool ninja Worms.
No,
to me.
Worms is turn based. That's the thing.
This is turn-based. So imagine, it's not queuing.
No,
stuff
imagine
up,
like imagine in... Worms, but you play out your turns. And then it rewinds. You play out the turn of Worm 1, it rewinds. You play out the turn of Worm 2, it rewinds. And then at the end of that, you press play and everything goes at the same time.
Yeah.
It's that.
That's great. Let's do that.
That's not Worms.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what he's... Yeah,
right. That's what I'm saying.
One thing that I...
It's not Worms.
It's Worms. But everyone has to worms. Go at the same time.
No, yeah, but you have, oh my God. You have to play. You have to play game. Your
it's
strategy.
It's Stardew Valley, but with ninjas.
I'm just casting
more of a katana 0.5.
Just casting that net. That's beautiful. Just going fishing. Sorry,
I think we've got the name.
The game could either start out with a small squad, or maybe one ninja who has to recruit units and acquire new equipment. I'm just hard cutting right there, by the way. Or it could just be a 1v1 matchup where you choose either online or AI opponents to go at it. Wow. Other options are, of course, available, but they are not listed.
But they're, of course, available.
Yeah.
Oh, also, sorry, there was a line before this. I really like the idea of classic ninja tropes being involved. A range attack aimed at a unit instead hits a log in the same spot while the unit has mysteriously vanished and suddenly appears behind their attacker. Okay, yeah, now there are things like that you can do in this style of game that you just wouldn't be able to in any other. So that's cool. A unit caught in the open drops a smoke bomb to escape. Or two units battle consistently while somehow doing minimal damage until the final blow lands. That's cool as fuck. Okay. All the ingredients are here.
It's getting him.
And they've been put into my brain pot and I've swirled it around a couple times. Have a little taste. It's okay. I'll throw in a little bit of this. Now it's getting nice. Are you ready for me to serve up? Serve up my Tom juice. You ready to slap it
around? Get comfortable. I'll put my legs up.
Get comfortable. Put your legs up. Open them wide because I'm coming in with the Tom juice.
Oh, I'm ready.
I don't know if I want the Tom juice, but go.
I am a gape.
James.
All right. Now you've got to do the... Yeah, there we go.
Okay. So I like the idea of having one ninja team at least to begin with. And of course, the enemies you're up against are also singular units of varying difficulty. You pick on your turn three different things. Your movement, which can be various different skills if you want that to be. That could be a dash, it could be a jump, it could be a climb, it could be just a regular old walk. Your second action being your attack. Now, this could be an attack of, again, varying degrees. Throwing a throwing star or slicing with your sword or something like that. Your third being your skill, which can be, I don't know, vanish and appear somewhere else, or like gadgets, like throwing a smoke bomb, dropping a trap, whatever. Those are the three actions you pick on your turn, knowing that the enemy is able to do exactly the same as you. Maybe they've got access to different gadgets, different abilities, whatever else. However,
do you
on
know
your
what
turn,
they've got though?
No, but this is where this comes into it. You are able to, as a during the turn kind of thing, you're able to examine one of the moves of the enemy. So you can say, right, I really want to know what is their move might look like. And then when you do that, you can see, oh, he's planning on jumping up here. Or you can get them to examine like their weapon for the turn. It's like, right, I know the exact kind of attack they're going to do, or I know what gadget they're going to throw out, or what skill they're going to use. And that's how you can then vary your turn based around what the enemy is going to do. As you gain more units, your turns then get more complicated. You're picking three different actions for everyone on your team, but with more people, you have more eyes on the enemy. Say there's one particular enemy that is really fucking you up and you've got three guys. You can then say like, right, I want to know everything this guy is going to do. I want to know his movement, his attack, his skill.
Does that take up one of your slots?
I think this is like a free thing, but you only have one. Like you can only pick one thing to like examine. And once you've done it, you know the intent of this enemy.
But is that, does that get reset every
intent?
Turn?
That's the name of the skill.
I think this gets reset.
I don't know if that, my issue being is that once I know that guy's got a sword, there's nothing he can do to surprise me? Was that the point?
I think, yeah, I think as battles go on, at the cost of fatigue and being easier to hit, you, as a player, know more about how an enemy is potentially going to act or the abilities they have or whatever else. So you can counter them without even needing to look at them anymore, really, you know?
I think there's also an element of like metagaming on top of that with like knowing or trying to figure out which, like, what is this person likely to inspect from me? Like, what are they likely to go for? And then working around that as well. So there's kind of like an element
subverting
of trying
the
to
expectations.
Outthink.
Yeah. And if everything has loadouts, you're only able to bring certain things in, you can keep something to yourself on a particular character for a long time and then all of a sudden surprise them with this throwing star that you, that you didn't know you had or whatever. Yeah. In your prison pocket. Okay. Now, obviously, turns are played out in a way where, yeah, you pick your entire action in your turn, but it doesn't play out until you say, right, my turn is done. The enemy has picked their turn. Let's just see how it goes. And yeah, maybe if you don't know the movement they're going to make and they don't know the movement you're going to make, maybe you just fuck off into completely different directions and throw a smoke bomb into the middle of nowhere. Mm. But that's just how, I guess, a ninja battle would work, I suppose.
Yeah,
that's what you have to learn.
Why it's a great chess analogy, isn't it? Because it's like you're trying to think ahead what their moves are going to be. Are they going to climb up there? They're going to sneak through this tunnel in the middle of the level? Are they going to jump up on the building?
That was another thing. really quick, to tie into that, you the actions that you take, movement, attack, skill, you choose the order in which they activate as well. So you can say, right, I want to throw this kunai or whatever, then move, then use my ability. Or I want to move first, then throw at this particular point in the map or whatever else.
Is it each squad member, each ninja can use all three of those, or is it you can only use one each? Okay, right.
Everyone has all three. That might be fucking complicated.
Well, I mean, how big's a squad, right? I'm imagining four, right? You've each got
25.
Right, I mean,
it's an army.
It's an army of ninja.
Maybe you can group select and apply. No, I'm thinking four anyway. Do you have access to more than one weapon, or do you have you decided that at the beginning of the game? Because that's the thing, right? That could alleviate that. What weapon they're going to use? Well, this time they're going to use the throwing star, but this time they've chosen the sword, so they can change on the fly. I'm imagining that. Otherwise, it's once you figure out the weapon, you figured out their weapon.
You need to be able to change. Otherwise, I think the intent doesn't work, right? Because once you've seen it once, then you just know. But like, you need to be able to counter
that stuff.
It's changing
weapon and action. I feel like that's the way, like that needs to be, you need to have some risk reward of that.
So
I think it depends on your weapon you use.
My favorite phrase, risk reward.
I think is blocking an action as well? Like blocking would be instead of your weapon? Or
maybe
is
that could be like
action?
One of the skills that you have is just a parry. You're trying to predict when they're going to attack in their three turn action, right? Maybe parry is available in all three, but you can sacrifice a move to parry. You can sacrifice your skill to parry. It just allows you. So if someone is fucked up and you need to really defend them, you just spend their entire turn just trying to block this thing. But again, the longer they're in a fight or the more they try to parry, the harder it will be for them to actually block it when the hit actually comes.
The evasion runs down, right?
Can you have triple move as well, though? But your move reduces over time?
Well, no, because that's just one, like Tom was saying, there are actions, like you pick one of each, right?
Maybe.
But if we've got parry, we've had that three times, right?
Maybe there's some crossover in the move can also be, because you can have skills that allow you to move further, right? You have attack, you can have attacks that also drop like a smoke bomb or whatever, and you can have moves that would also allow you to, so there's some crossover between the two.
So some abilities or some skills contain movement inherent within them.
Yeah, maybe some movements also contain attacks. Maybe some attacks also allow you to drop a trap or whatever. Maybe this is a card game.
No.
I mean, that's what it kind of sounds like, but instead of cards, you're just pressing icons
in
order.
You have loadouts.
No, but that's great. But that's like we need to take the cards away. We need to remove cards.
Why the fuck are we taking cards away, Alex Turner?
Just for once. Just this once.
I think what's important about this, though, is that everyone's got access to the same moves all the time. That's why you're trying to figure out.
Well, based
that's
around
like chess,
loadout.
Right? You know what the pawn is going to do, so you can plan what it's going to do. But we're sort of saying, well, the pawn can now become a rook because they can change their cards, right?
Well, I feel like this. They should have, like, the ninjas should have different abilities that you can, like, you can have loadouts that you go in with, right?
I think you just make them classes, that, like, right? You just choose a
or classes. Sure, your,
this guy's a tank. His moveset is lower, but his attacks are stronger.
Now, to be clear,
so you know exactly what
when I say there's cards, I don't necessarily mean it's a deck building game. I just mean that you have
a pile.
You have abilities that you can place on these three different slots, and on the ability itself, it says what action you can apply this to, whether it's the attack or the movement or the skill, or maybe it's attack and movement, and you have to pick which one it goes on to. Maybe there are certain abilities that cross over and block out two things at once. Or ultimate ninja moves that use up all three.
And then you could do that with classes as well. Like their base moveset is they have two move, one attack. But then like a heavy might have two attack, one move.
But also like if you're trying to scan your enemy and see their intent.
I don't know what a heavy ninja is, by the way.
It's a sumo
you
wrestler.
See a belly poking out of their ninja
robe. He's just jumping up and trying to lift himself up.
But if there is an ability that uses up both their movement and their action and their attack, and you scan that enemy and you're like, right, I want to see what their attack is, you also find out what their movement is because bigger, more visible moves are more easy to detect. So if someone is using their big ultimate moves that uses all three, it's easier to see it coming, provided you actually look at this guy. Man,
do you think there'd be perks hidden in the level as well? So there would be, maybe like Worms, you know, where they drop the crates. Sorry, Tom, but you know, where you go like go exploring, and there might be an extra slot for a round. You might have
it's another risk reward, right? Like Chris is saying.
Well, can you imagine the satisfaction of scanning an enemy, knowing he's going to end up underneath where that tree is going to fall, provided you go over to attack it.
Knocking trees over?
Wow. Well, when I say knocking trees over, I mean like environmental things that you can affect the world.
Man, imagine chaining them though. You know, you get that classic, like, do you ever play Shinobi back in the day on the PS2 where you could like slice through a number of enemies and then at the end they do the like, put the sword away and they all kind of chop
They
apart.
Never actually take the sword out. They just do the...
Yes, oh, that's right.
And then all of them fall.
That's some fantastic sound effect.
Imagine chaining like all four of them together. You manage to like, I don't know, checkers that.
Well, that's the thing. I think that there could be certain things that allow you to move enemies around and position them in places so that the next person the simultaneous person, I suppose, in this instance, the enemy is in the right place for the other guy to then come in to attack them. So you could attack the same person like four times, provided you've moved them around in the right way.
I think this would be really cool. Like, I think people would be cautious at the beginning, and then you know you'd send a person out, try and scout ahead, and then you just see like four ninjas like dart in from all
that's
corners
the thing.
Of the level.
I think
that'd be awesome.
It's one of those, like, I can imagine there being some really fucking clumsy fights where people are dashing around and going all over the place and swinging in midair and not hitting anything. But I'm just imagining like some really top tier stuff where it's just like every impact is being parried at the right time. Every movement is leading directly to the enemy or throwing the enemy in this direction and then the other guy fucking slices him out of the air. It could be incredible.
I don't even think you'd do it AI, would you? You just do online. It would be a great turn-based online.
It should be versus.
Game. Yeah.
But should there be like versus, ways sorry. To, like the only thing that I'm thinking of is like, does it get frustrating if you feel like, okay, this person is clearly seeing my intent. They can, like, but if you're frequently just like countered by someone, like knowing you're going to go somewhere and then you get punished for it. Like, should there be like, what if there were things like skills or some kind of introduction to basically, like, I guess situation, skills for things like, for example, I don't know, say if you know, like, okay, this guy I can see has a sword and I can see I can see where he's moving next. He's going to attack me. So I'm going to like counter that and go in early and like rush or do whatever move I do. But then, so that basically fucks the turn for that guy. But what if they then had effectively like, I don't know, some kind of like one shot skill, and maybe this could be the environmental pickups or something, like a dagger, so that if you're attacked in melee range, then you use the dagger instead and you take damage, but you also manage to give damage as well. So that it's not a total loss from being spotted.
Lends
or scouted.
Into the conditional things that were in the like first sentence of this pitch, right?
Where, yeah, that's true.
Because
we
sort of forgot about that. I think there should be a conditional slot, which you can set it up to be if attacked or if move, then something. If, you know, take damage, then counter.
Maybe this is what separates the characters from each other, rather than just being loadouts. I know you were saying you want everyone to be on equal footing and their loadouts are the only thing that separate them from each other. But yeah, maybe there is just a continuous passive ability that every enemy has or every player has that is different to each other. When attacked, they will do this. And that then becomes revealed, I suppose, for the entire game. In terms of online play, the way that I suppose the visual element of this could work, like you can see every player and their three little notches. And when they're filled in, you know, they've taken their turn. Essentially, they've picked an action for that. And if you then click on that slot, the enemy then knows that particular slot becomes revealed, and both players know that it's revealed. So then they can try and adapt for the rest of their turn. Maybe that means that a turn is basically each person saying, "No, you go first. You fucking pick your turn."
Well, I guess you'd just set a time limit on it, wouldn't you? You'd do like speed chess where it's like you've got
you have a turn timer that you've got 30 seconds to
plan
all your moves.
Having a turn timer.
Yeah. Also, at the end of every combat, you get to see the entire thing play back in real time.
Mm, 100%.
Oh, okay.
And then maybe some, like, if there's some good moments, we can have, like, a little replay counter, like highlights. But
yeah,
that
I guess
might
the only,
not be needed.
The only danger is, like, actually seeing things happen when the turn plays out. If it's 4v4, for example, like, it must be so hard to just spot amongst all the chaos of eight people dashing into each other, attacking or whatever else. I mean, maybe the game actively highlights the most important thing in the one of three phases of a turn. I don't know, but that could be a difficult thing.
I mean, the only way around it would be some sort of initiative order, but I don't, that breaks the whole pitch. The whole point is that it all happens at the same time. And I mean, maybe you could like zoom in. Like, I imagine you zoom out and see all the action happen. And if enemies are going to clash, then maybe you like slow-mo zoom in on the clash and then zoom back out. And
yeah, you do like a hit stop and, you know, make it just zhuzh it up a bit. And then,
Or if it is in three phases, like, I mean, admittedly, this is just an idea that I've just shit out and whatever. But if each turn is three phases, maybe you literally just see it as turn three. Phase one, and then bam, someone dashes that way. The next person, or everyone at the same time, does their thing. But the highlights is when the game sort of pauses, looks at it like that person got slashed. The camera moves over. This person got hit as well. The camera moves over. This person jumped up. Mm. But it all happens at the same time, essentially. And then phase two, bam, bam, bam. Phase three, bam, bam, bam. And then that's the end of the turn. You know what?
You're into this one.
I do like this one. I don't know if this is anything like what Sam had in mind, but
I think we've taken it and done something. I mean, okay, where are we with it, Tom? Could you give us a rundown of what this game currently is?
So,
Katana 0.5.
Katana 1. Katana 360 is
very nice.
Is a semi-turn-based game, but I don't really know the name of this. Simultaneous turn-based tactics game in a tile-based map where ninja fights ninja, determining their moves against each other between movements, attacks, and skills. And both players pick at the same time and just watch the events unfold.
Like a synchronous ninja planning game. I'm trying to think
city
of
city planning game.
Or Batman.
The genre.
I mean, it is. There has to be something like this, but I don't know of anything like this. I am very ready for someone to turn around and say,
tactical espionage.
I think that's
action,
it. Like,
it
has an element of like Dota Auto Chess and those kind of games.
Well,
and that you're both, you know, you're figuring out what to. I mean, like, it's a lot more complicated than that, because in Auto Chess, you're just placing your enemies down, right? And you've been like, okay, you're placing your characters down. And you've been like, okay, this is. I mean, that's pretty much the only option you have, right? Is what you buy and where you put it. Whereas in this, you're actually directly controlling them.
Yeah.
But it's just.
But you watch the effects of your choices play out at the end, and you have no control over it once you press play, essentially. And then, turn after, you then have to try and recover from that or press the advantage or whatever else. I think this could be with enough different actions and abilities. And if we go with, I say if we go with, like we're going to carry on beyond this episode, but if it went with perks and abilities that made each player more unique, just having so much variance where every combat feels completely different, or, you know, you go against stronger enemies that simply don't have gadgets and skills, but their attacks and movements are much stronger than yours. Things like that could be really interesting to change up, even like the, I guess, story mode campaign of the game. I think it's fucking awesome.
I just want to see a match between two like top tier players.
Yeah.
I think that would just be fascinating.
I can't be the only one who notices this. I have to be careful how I say this, because I don't know when this episode's going out. But it's almost as if Tom has been editing a video trailer for a game that does exactly this.
No.
It's similar in the sense, but that's also in the same way that Auto Chess is, right? You do some actions and then you press play.
For context, if this is making it into the episode, we're talking about Bots Are Stupid by Yogscast
Games. It'll
be out by
then. Yeah. Well, not out. It'll be announced.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't want to say it.
Watch the trailer. I edited it. There you go.
You did.
Anyway, Sam has one final line here.
Yeah.
Thanks for reading this one, assuming you do. We did. And for the Triforce fans, I do in fact have a tiny penis. There you go. Many thanks.
Very
from
nice.
Sam. Amazing.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe we need a call sign.
You didn't leave a Twitter handle or anything.
No.
Yeah, we do need a call sign, do we?
We need a call sign.
Yama Yama.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I think you have to, the moment you see us, if you see us in public and you wish to let us know that you enjoy the podcast, you have to throw your hat into the wind and have it almost get hit by a car while you scream, "No, my fedora! My fedora! I have to go to my katana class!"
This is getting referenced so many times from an episode that never even went out.
It did.
Because it was the first thing we recorded. I think it did.
That was hashtag blessed.
Yeah.
Was it hashtag blessed?
That was the biggest miracle that had ever happened to you.
Right.
A married man
it was.
Said
it was.
That the greatest miracle was his hat being saved by the wind.
Look, you weren't there. You don't understand.
This is the divine intervention that happened. That was the biggest miracle, Tom.
Didn't fucking.
All right, look. If you liked Sam's idea, if you like what we did with it, or if you don't like what we did with it, then let us know and let Sam know. Where can they let us know, Tom?
You can let us know if you liked it at Pitch Please Pod, which is Pitch Please Pod without any vowels on Twitter, or you can send your emails to us, send in your game ideas or just your general feedback or your vitriol to pitchpleasepod@yogscast.com with all the vowels. And if you didn't like the episode, get fucked.
You know, you hear voice recording. Those are always good.
Yeah, send us voice recordings, please. We really enjoy
those. I'm loving this new Pitch Please era where we're getting
I am not pitching games.
Fuck you. There's a small variety.
Pitch ideas to people who used to pitch ideas. Well, I don't know. I'm lost.
And then adapt them to pitch to people who make them.
Yes.
There's the motto. Nice. The new motto.
There we go. That's the new one. All right. Look, thanks very much for listening. Until then, please enjoy previous episode. Please enjoy the outro music. Please enjoy all the episode. Like, if you're listening to this and you've never listened to us before, or you've listened to a couple, you can go
in. Besides this references, is the breakout episode.
Yeah. What happened in your life that you've discovered this at this point?
besides occasional references to my fedora, there you can go in and listen to this in any episode, in any order. It doesn't matter. They're all different.
They're all completely unique ideas
that are never the same
at one point involving cards.
Somewhere along the line.
Except we have loads of guests.
My actual favourite, Dungeon Daddy, that didn't have any cards.
Yeah, don't listen to that one.
You're right, it didn't.
That was the best one.
All right, the outro music started ages ago. I'm going to have to keep looping it at this point. Look, we'll see you next week, all right? No, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
We'll see you when we see you.
Goodbye.
Bye. Jesus Christ. Bye.
Bow. I've forgotten how the music goes.
Yeah, me too.
And I've never heard it.
Have you not?
No, I don't listen to this shit. And now I'm going to stop recording.
There it is.